Please be seated.
You know that sinking feeling you get in your gut, the rapid heartbeat, the sudden disorientation you feel when you see the flashing lights of a police cruiser in your rearview mirror? A sudden realization that you haven't looked at your speedometer for a while. You don't know if your seatbelt's fastened. And you can't recall everything that you've done in the last 12 hours. Where's my wallet? Advent can be kind of like that. I just hope if you feel that way, it's for the right reasons. Advent, a beginning of something, the closeness of something, something just about to happen. Stretching things to the breaking point, not knowing when whatever or whomever it is that presses towards us is going to break through. It's a bit like living in a scary movie where only a thin rubber film separates us from the reaching hands and featureless face of something unimaginable. Advent is the word from which we get adventure. And what is an adventure? It's a journey in which we never know what's going to happen next. We don't know what's just around the corner. We can't guess when we are about to be surprised, even though we're pretty sure that we are about to be surprised. What do we think that we're looking forward to? Should we just be looking forward, or should we also be looking all around us, perhaps even looking inside for what might be about to happen? Is something sneaking up on us? Advent, it is a season that reminds us of God's imminence. But what is that? Advent reminds us that all of life is an emergency, that God is an emergency, because God and we are constantly emerging. But emerging from where and to do what? How do we picture imminence, and what does immediate really mean? I know, too many questions. It's exhausting. Think about how immediate or imminent God is. It makes my brain hurt. Maybe we should just think about Christmas presents. No, not today. Imminence is really what we're talking about in Advent, but it would help us a lot, I think, to ask ourselves if we understand imminence in terms of moments and passing of time, or if we understand it in terms of physical closeness. In this day of Google Maps and Google Earth, where we can zoom in on our backyard from space or pull back and see where we are with respect to the surrounding geography, maybe it's better for us to visualize God hovering close over the big picture. And to imagine hundreds of moments all laid out before us as if they were all happening at the same time, right now. If we're looking at a lake, for example, close up, now might be one wave hitting a log. But if we pull back, it could be an entire lake with hundreds of waves hitting lots of logs. Pull back further, it could be an entire valley with everything that's happening in an afternoon, or a region in a season. Time is both small, moving quickly, and big, hardly seeming to move at all. Time can be everything to us, or it can be irrelevant. Think about the things that you avoid in your life because they take time. Who do you dread? What do you dread? And what are you willing to do to avoid that encounter, to avoid the extra time and discomfort that encounter might require of you? Do we have time for the closeness of God? Do we desire the closeness of God? Do we dread this encounter or look forward to it? If we don't have time for pain, then do we have time for goodness, enjoyment, desire? Or have we become so obsessed with time and how much time we've spent and how much time we have left or don't have left, that we've made ourselves numb altogether so that we fly through experiences without feeling them? Often we'd rather get through something and be done with it than truly experience what we should experience. Instead of standing and studying the painting, we would prefer to take a snapshot and get out of the museum. Being in a hurry really just means that we care more about some other time than the time that we're in. So we disrespect the present moment. Advent is about time, but it's about time in a different way. Advent is for slowing down. Just when we're getting all ramped up for Christmas, just when we're getting used to a constant state of high anxiety because we think we know what's coming, Advent reminds us that we don't know what to expect when we're expecting God in our lives. Advent invites us to slow down. It is a season of expectation, yes, but not one of frenzied preparation for an all-out Christmas event. Advent is a season focused on coming, the process of coming, God's coming, Christ's coming. It's a season in which we anticipate the coming of God in many different ways. Historically, Advent is about the second coming of Christ, the return of Christ, what theologians call the parousia. Parousia is a Greek word referring to the condition of expecting the imminent physical appearance of someone. Whereas Epiphany means appearance or revelation. So expecting appearance and then appearance. Originally, Advent was a season of preparation for Epiphany, the appearing or manifestation of Christ. Epiphany was one of the seasonal celebrations when baptisms were held in early churches. The actual birth of Christ was not considered to be important for several centuries. So Christmas celebrations did not even exist until the 4th century. And even then, they were only popular in a few places. At that time, where Advent was celebrated, it was just as long as Lent, 6 weeks. And it ended at Epiphany. Advent is about the coming or nearness of God, the idea that God is just around the corner, just behind our backs, looking over our shoulders, just beyond the eyes of that person whose face we're looking into. God is always ready to manifest himself in our midst. There are many things that we expect or look forward to during Advent. On the one hand, we do look forward to celebrating the fact that God has already come as Christmas draws closer, but Advent is not about celebrating something that's already happened. We look forward to the second coming of Christ, signaling the end of this present age. But we usually think of this return of Christ as something that will happen someday, at the end of time, far from now. And Advent is definitely not about celebrating something that's far away. Still, these are two ways in which we normally think of God's coming, two perspectives on our expectation of God that receive a lot of press during Advent. The third, and perhaps most important way we think about God coming in Advent, relates to God's nearness all the time, to God's constant coming and readiness to enter into our lives. Remember when you were a child and you had a jack-in-the-box with a crank on the side? You turn the crank and the song Round and Round the Mulberry Bush, the Monkey Chased the Weasel would play as you cranked. Of course, because we know the lyrics to the song, we anticipate Pop Goes the Weasel to be that time when the lid will fly open and the clown will pop out, both to frighten us and to delight us all at the same time. We expect Pop to be that moment when the lid pops open. So we slow our cranking and we squint our eyes. And we do our best to expect the surprise that we know is coming so that it does not startle us when it actually does. But that never really works, does it? This is more what Advent is about. Not just that Christ will return someday, but that he stands at the door and knocks. It reminds us that all of life is about squinting and slowing our cranking in order to get ready for God bursting in on us. But it also reminds us that we do not have to squint in fear. Rather, we should open our eyes so we don't miss a thing. We need not be afraid of some scary thing that might happen. Rather, we can relax and quiet ourselves, eagerly anticipating the embrace of the guest that we know is coming to dinner. How does God burst into our lives? Gerard Manley Hopkins was a priest, a monk, and a poet. Nobody really knew that he was a poet, though, until after his death, when his private writings were discovered. Even then, his good friends didn't know if they should release the writings to be published, because they might be private. One beautiful poem Hopkins wrote, he called Wind Hover. In it, he depicts the Holy Spirit as a hawk, a falcon hovering in place above us. The hawk suddenly dives, falling deadly fast toward us, its prey. Then it hits, and we are pierced. We are penetrated. We are burst and dashed to a million pieces, as if we were made of glass. And in that moment, the light that is shining into our lives is also dashed into pieces, so that like a hopelessly wrinkled piece of foil, a plethora of prisms, we reflect every color that there is in every direction, so that the beauty that is contained in that white-hot light of God that fills us can be seen and understood by all as it is reflected and refracted in so many different ways in our lives. Sometimes God comes quickly, precipitously, but oftentimes God comes slowly and relentlessly. God came in Christ, yes. God comes in his people, yes. We are his people and God comes in us, yes. He comes slowly, he comes quickly. He comes to save, but he also comes to shatter. There's no way to expect the unexpected God, but we must expect him. He is coming. He is coming in every moment. He is waiting on the front step. You might meet him as you go out the door. Have you been sleeping? If you have, it's time to wake up. Salvation is closer to us now than when we first believed. We do not know on what day our Lord is coming, it's true, but maybe it's time to make sure that that day really could be today. Listen carefully. Somewhere an Advent siren is sounding. At some point, you're bound to see flashing lights in your rearview mirror. But don't panic. This is the opportunity that you've been waiting for. It's time to decide whether you're going to pull off to the side and stop or hit the gas and try to keep on going. Slow your cranking. Squint your eyes. He's very close.